Morning. It's a privilege to share the Word of God this morning. It's a full house. Praise God. What a wonderful time of singing we've just had now. It's like a really great entree. The time of singing, the time of the Word, the time of sharing all the individuals that are coming up here and sharing. And by God's grace, I just want to do my part in sharing right now. Because when we come before God, He always furnishes us, our table, with a feast. You know, the boy who came with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he came bearing all he had. But unless God multiplied it, unless Jesus miraculously multiplied it, the people would not have been fed. So that's the work of preaching. The preacher is no man. The one standing here is no one, but the Holy Spirit can work through a feeble vessel, any one of you men, any one of you who have a heart to share, and He can come and He can multiply, because it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to pray for now. Let's bow as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for what we've experienced already in coming here this morning. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the singing, the words of truth we've been able to sing, and the proclamation of truth in the words. We thank You, Lord, and our hearts want to be open, Lord. We want to be open now to receive what You have for us. I want to be open, Lord. I pray Your Holy Spirit would just speak through these words. And I pray, Lord, that You would feed us. Feed us Your people, Lord, for we are the sheep of Your pasture. Yes, Lord. And so I pray, speak through these words today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, even as the verse was up on the screen and the text and the theme of this morning is come to the light. It's to come to Christ, to come into the light. And I wonder if we've ever tried to peer into the sun's rays. Maybe as a child, maybe in the playground with your friends, you've been as foolish as I have been to test yourself against your friends as to who can bear the blinding light of the sun and see who can look at it the longest. It's not recommended. You know, when there's an eclipse and the crowds gather to watch an eclipse, they usually hand out some UV blocking sunshades. And that's pretty well recommended as you gaze up into the brilliance of the light. I was looking at an introductory story or a reference regarding the brilliance of white light as I came to this text. But I couldn't go past just a couple of scriptures, so I wanted to use those to introduce this message this morning. Revelations 1 verse is 12 to 17. Such was the revelation of John of the living God that in verse 14 of Revelation 1, it speaks of the Son of Man being as His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And it says His eyes were like a flame of fire. In verse 15 of Revelation 1, it says His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in His right hand 7 stars. Out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw Him, I fell down at His feet as dead. I wonder, when you walk through the corridors of your workplace, when you're in your schools, when you're in your places of education, when you're amongst neighbors, amongst friends, and you hear the name of Jesus blasphemed, you know what I think of? I think of this one. I think of the one that will judge the earth and judge the world in righteousness. And I think of the one whose eyes are like a flame of fire. And if Jesus at that very moment would stand with His brilliance in His resurrection glory, we would all fall down at His feet as dead. I wonder. You know, when on the way to Damascus, when Paul, in his great conversion, when Saul was on the way to Damascus, and God calls him Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, when Paul is breathing threats and murder against the disciples, he is stopped in his tracks. Isn't he stopped? And in his own words, this is his account in Acts chapter 22, verses 6 to 11. This is Paul's own account of what happened on that day. He says in verse 6, it happened as I journeyed and I came near Damascus at about noon. Suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid. And they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Friends, Paul, who was Saul, had that experience. He had that experience with Jesus. Friends, Jesus is God. Jesus is the light of the world. And if he came in his glory and his brilliance, we would all fall at his feet. And yet, he calls us to come to the light. As we sung softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. How can we reconcile those two things? That one who is so brilliant in white and pure light bids us, calls us to come into the light. How is that possible? I want to look at verses 19 to 21 of the text that was read this morning. John 3, we read from 16 to 21. I want to look at three things, verses 19, 20 and 21. Three simple statements, observations concerning the true light. In verse 19, I want to consider that light is a gift from God. In verse 20, we see that darkness hates true light. And in verse 21, we as God's people, we are to reflect God's light. By way of introduction, you know, often we read John 3:16 and our children have memorized it. And we probably all know it, but it's very important to read the Bible in context. It's so important because verses 18 to 21, they shed light on the previous verses, don't they? For God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we see in verse 17 that God, he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. He didn't need to send Christ to reaffirm the world's condemnation because the world in sin and in death was already condemned. But he sends the Son of God. He sends the light into the world that through him, through Christ, the world might be saved. In verse 18, we read that he who believes in Christ is not condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not in the flesh, but who are walking in the Spirit. There is now no condemnation. But he who does not believe is condemned already. It's reaffirming the same word. See, we can't read John 3:16 in isolation because we won't understand it. We won't understand its fullness. We need to understand that there's a depravity. We need to understand that the world is in darkness for us to appreciate the true light that comes into the world. He who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you read the book of 1 John, it will also shed a lot of light on those verses. But I want to look at verses 19, 21, 20 and 21. In verse 19, I want to consider light is a gift from God. There's a condemnation here. The light has come, but men love darkness rather than light. But I want to focus on these words. The light has come. Friends, light is a gift from God. God did not leave the world in its sinful state. He prepared his only begotten Son to come and to lay down his life and become the propitiation for man's sins, become the ransom for man's sin. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, there was a prophecy of Christ coming. It says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Friends, the world was in darkness. The world was in darkness. And John the Baptist came and he also prepares the light. Isaiah 9:2 says, those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. John the Baptist said, I am not the true light. I have come to prepare the way for the light, but I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of the one who comes after me. And so John the Baptist, even as all the prophets before Jesus, prepared the way for the true light, because true light is a gift from God. Friends, this should motivate you and motivate me to come to the light. Because light is a gift. Without the light in our own darkness, in ourselves, we already stand condemned. We already stand in darkness. And in a world of darkness, the people who walk in darkness, who stumble, blind leading the blind, they've seen a great light. Jesus, the light of the world. And so John the Baptist, he prepares the way for the true light. And friends, turning and repentance is a great blessing. Turning and repentance, this is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you or to me. It's to come out of darkness and come and yield ourselves to the light, even as Saul, who said, Lord, who are you? As we come to the scripture, as you open the Bible and you look into it and say, Lord, shine truth into my heart. Shine the light into my heart. He will reveal himself to you through the Bible as I can't do and as no man can do. Only the Holy Spirit can show truth to you personally. And you can do two things when you see the light. Perhaps you've read this verse 100 times before, for God so loved the world. Perhaps you've read those following verses. Perhaps you've been to Sunday school. Perhaps you've been to church all your life, but has the light penetrated? Has the light of the gospel penetrated your heart? And there's two things we can do when we see the light. We can either shrink back in the darkness and hide from the light, or, as Saul did, we can bow down and worship the true God and say, Lord, who are you? Lord, reveal yourself to me. And anyone who has done that, in truth, Jesus has revealed himself to them. You hear accounts of Muslims. You hear accounts of men, women, and children all around the world, from every faith, from every group of people, who have come and have said, who are you, Lord, in truth? And everything within them has screamed out the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, because Jesus is the true light that has come into the world. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved but the name of Jesus. So number one, light is a gift from God. We've got to see it as a gift. In verse 20 though, we have a friction, because darkness hates true light. In verse 20 says, everyone who practices evil hates the light and doesn't come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is talking about a people who live in sin but love their sin. They love the darkness, they love their wickedness, and they don't want to come. They don't want to come because as soon as they come, the light will be exposed. The bad news, friends, is that man has rebelled. Man has rebelled against God. Even as we go back to Genesis in those first chapters, we see God's perfection if we start at Genesis 1. We see creation. We see man created in God's image. We see man walking in the light. We see the footsteps in the garden where God walks with Adam and wants to commune with him. But what does Adam do after the fall? He's a forlorn figure just a little while later, isn't he? He shrinks back into the darkness. And that's the tendency of human nature. It's not to come to the light, but to shrink back in darkness. So Jesus lovingly, biddingly calls man to come, to step out of evil, to step out of their dark deeds, and to come to the light, because Christ wants to restore fellowship with a broken world, a broken people. But there's a friction. As long as you stay in your darkness, as long as you continue to practice and to love what you're practicing, that is evil, there will be a friction against the light. And it's man's default. It's natural for man to not want his darkness to be exposed. And so, as we've sung, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, infinite, matchless grace. It is the grace of God. It's amazing grace, the grace of repentance, the grace of turning from sin, of seeing yourself as you are and accepting the light to penetrate you on this side of eternity. To say, as the psalmist said, Lord, show any wicked way in me and purge me and let me walk in your way everlasting. Friends, Jesus is the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This is the essence, friend. In him was life, in John 1 verse 4 we read, and the life was the light of men. Jesus comes. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. And that is the tragedy of our day. That is the tragedy of our world. That is the tragedy of our family, of our circle of friends, of those who we rub shoulders with day to day, is that men walk in darkness. They grope around blind because they love darkness rather than light. But friends, God is such permeating light. He's such pure light that 1 John 1:5 exclaims, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That penetrating light is very convicting. And it's only a man who has come to the end of himself, only a person that's come to the end of this themselves and have come to their senses, like the prodigal who came to his senses, it says. When he came to his senses, he said, I'll go back to my father. I'm sick of being in the pig pen. I'll go back to being a servant in my father's house. It's only when man has come to an end of himself that he comes and reaches the beginning of God, when he's come to an end of himself. But there can be no doubting it. There's no disputing it when radiant light is present. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is the convincing part. This is the convicting part. There is not a shred of darkness in him. How can you stand before such light? And yet he says, come. Yet he says, come. I'll expose darkness, but I'll also purify it away. You know, when you turn the light on, a pure bright light, all of the darkness flees away into the shadows. It flees away. And so when the light of Christ shines into a sinful heart, it purifies. It causes the darkness to flee. But you know, that's why our Lord was put to death. Because in him was no darkness at all. He came to the religious and he showed them their sin. The people saw the religious as being up on a pedestal. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, these people were all on a pedestal, but in fact they were binding heavy burdens onto the common people's backs. And Jesus came and he exposed the darkness and the hidden motive of their hearts. And so they, the religious order, crucified him. They crucified him because they could not bear the light. Because he exposed all their darkness. He exposed all their double motives. He exposed all their self-righteousness. And so, friends, there is no one good. There is no one good save God. There is no one that doeth right, only God. God is perfect, pure, and in him is no darkness at all. But we see that the darkness hates the light. Hates the light, because the work of the light is to expose darkness. Friends, our Lord Jesus revealed darkness wherever he went. He walked. He was pure light. Men, women would fall at his feet in adoration and would bow the knee because the true light walked in the earth. But what did our Lord Jesus say in John 14 and 15? He said, I must needs go away, because if I do not go away, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. And today, Jesus is present in the world through his Holy Spirit. The world is not devoid. It has not been left. The Holy Spirit is present. The Spirit of truth, the Bible says, is in the world, convincing men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the light is still present. To those who will bow the knee, the light is still present. But friends, when we reach the full effect, the end of not being in the light. Just read Romans 1 in your own time. You see the effect of men who knew about God, who were born with a knowledge of God. Creation speaks. We've had newborn babies recently in our church or extended family. We have new life coming to the world. We see the miraculous every day. And based on creation, Romans 1 says, man who doesn't turn to God is condemned. Based on creation alone. And yet we have the scripture. We have the account of Jesus. We have the account of true light, friends. The work of the light is to reveal darkness. But the degeneration in Romans chapter 1 speaks of man going to the full extent of darkness. And that's what we see in our day. That's what we see in our world. So the first statement and the observation concerning the true light was that light is a gift from God. The second observation is that there is a friction because darkness hates true light. And the third is in verse 21. And that is, friends, if we are in Christ, we are to reflect true light. In John 3:21 it says, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. He who does the truth comes to the light. And his deeds are clearly obvious and seen. His works are obvious. There is a change in the life of the person who has stepped out of darkness and come into light. That's salvation, friends. If a person has come out of darkness and come into light, his lifestyle is not one of practicing evil. It doesn't mean he doesn't fall. It doesn't mean he does not fall short daily. But his lifestyle is not one of darkness. And so we are to be reflectors of God's light. Just as he is the sun, we are, as it were, his moons. We are the ones who reflect the light of Christ. We are to proclaim God's light in a world that's engulfed in darkness, just as we read of our Lord Jesus. In Luke 1:79, he says, he came to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. In Matthew 5:16, our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you know what those good works are? It's not about giving more to charities or to the church, as good as that is. Do you know what good works are in that sense? Works that you could not accomplish yourself before you were saved. It is only the Spirit of God who saves you, who then when you are saved, whatever you do, the good works, anything that is good that is in you, are reflections of what God has done in you. It is the gift of God that no one should boast. Grace is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Light coming from you or from me, though sometimes we don't see it, all of it, any reflection is from God. It's a gift from God. And so we are to be reflections. We are to be reflectors of God's light. The word there in that text for good is the word kalos. I had a English teacher at school called Con Carlos. The word there is Carlos, a Greek word for good. It's attractive. It means beautiful in appearance. So we should let our light shine before men so they would see the attractiveness of Christ in us, the beauties of Christ in us, the beauty the Lord has alone worked in you and in me. That's what it means to see good works in us. That's why Jesus says, let your light so shine. It's not something that we fabricate. It's not something we can conjure up. It's about obediently walking in the light, about following Christ, and he will do the rest. He will shine through us. He will shine through us. Hide it under a bushel? No, the children sing. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from some of our sin? No, from all sin. Friends, when you stand in the light of Christ, when you let the light of Christ come in and purify you, just as Jesus has no darkness in Him at all, so you are a spotless bride before Christ. And at His coming, when He receives you up, He will not see all your shortcomings, but He will receive you. He will receive you because of the cloak of righteousness, the pure white garment that He has cloaked you in. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends, let your light shine. We are to reflect Christ's light in your workplace, place of study, in your community, with your neighbors. Do those works that are worthy of repentance, as John the Baptist said, that are meet for repentance. Show them that you are saved. Show those around you that Christ has truly done a work in you and that the light of Christ is in you, that they may be attracted to Christ, that they may be attracted to the light of Christ. I like what the MacArthur New Testament commentary adds to this. When what we do causes people to be attracted to us rather than to God, to see our human character rather than His divine character, we can be sure that what they see is not His light. I'll read that again. When what we do causes people to be attracted to us rather than to God, to see our human character rather than His divine character, we can be sure that what they see is not His light. So friends, the work that is done in us, it's all of grace, and the light that He has given ought only to be a reflection of His light and point back to Him. Point back to the source of all light. Friends, when the sun shines on us, and how beautiful it was this morning as I sat on the deck and observed the light coming down. We can't stare up into that fireball of the sun, but we appreciate the warmth, don't we? We appreciate the glow. We appreciate the brightness all around us. And so, friends, here on this earth, come to the light so that your life might shine and be a reflection of His light. I don't know if some of us have heard of Robert Murray McChane, a Scottish minister, a godly minister of the last century. It was said of him that his face carried such a hallowed expression. He walked so with Jesus that people were known. There's accounts of people coming to Christ, falling on their knees and accepting Jesus as Savior when they looked at Him. Now you see the difference here. They didn't glorify Him. They didn't lift Him up. But this man walked so with God, he had such a hallowed expression, that there were accounts written of people who would literally fall down and receive Christ because of the godly countenance. Because as Moses went and spoke to God as friend with friend, and he came out and they couldn't see, they couldn't look upon him because of the glory of his countenance, that he had to be veiled before the people. Oh, my prayer is that God would do a work in me and in you, that we could be a holy people and carry a hallowed expression, that Christ's light would shine through us, that we would be good reflectors. Such light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You were once darkness, but now if you are in Christ, you are light. So walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. This is the idea of walking in the light, the idea of fellowship. In Philippians 2:15, it says, that we would become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. You notice that we're in a crooked and perverse generation. But we don't live the lifestyle of crookedness or perverseness. But we are to walk blameless in our Lord. We are to walk blamelessly, harmlessly. And it says there in that verse, among whom we shine as lights in the world. What else does the Lord God have to reflect His glory but His own people? To be reflectors, to be the moons, to be the ones that lead people to the bright light, that show people the brightness. Do not be afraid. My call in closing this morning, my call to us, is to not be afraid and to come into the light now before it's too late. Because friend, the tragedy is that those who have allowed themselves to be swallowed up by darkness and have loved darkness and have practiced evil will one day stand before the one to which I began this sermon in Revelations 1. Will stand before Him whose feet are as brass, from whose mouth goes a two-edged sword, whose eyes are like flaming fire, and who shines brighter than the countenance of the brightest sun. Friends, every hidden deed will be exposed on that day when they stand before the brightest and most intense light human eye has never yet seen. And friends, so the gospel bids us come. The Lord Jesus calls us come. The Holy Spirit draws all men to Christ, to the light, saying, come now. Come now before it's too late, before you stand, because every knee will bow, the Bible says. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He is the true light. Every knee will one day confess and will one day have to kneel and bow before that light. And every will be totally naked and exposed in that day, friend. Every hidden thought, every hidden deed, such piercing whiteness that the eye has not seen will expose it all. And won't it be a tragedy to those who are not cloaked with the righteousness of Christ, who are not covered by the blood of Jesus, who have not walked in the light on this side of eternity? So do not be afraid of the light, friends, on this side of the grave. Do not be afraid. The Lord Jesus bids us to come. Come into the light and you will be made whole. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, sinner, come home. That was a good preparation for the message. It would be a good song to end with as well. But why don't we come to a time of prayer and searching? We're going to sing in just a moment with a closing song, Free Now. Free now, justified we stand. Free now, safe within your hand. Lord, I'm free now. Free because you gave your life for me. By faith I can see. Free now, I'm free. All my guilt is gone. Free now, by your grace alone. Lord, I'm free now. Free now, by your precious blood. I'm free now because I'm captured or captivated by your love. Lord, I'm free, free to give my life away to you. What else can I do? Lord, I can see, Lord, I am free. Oh, Lord Jesus, we've come to your word this morning. We thank you for the radiance and the beauty of your penetrating light. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your light is a gift, that you are the gift of God come down from heaven to earth. Lord, we know our problem is that darkness hates light, but we thank you that you have overcome the world, the flesh and the devil in your death and resurrection on the cross. We thank you that you give true light to all who will believe. And Lord, help us to be good reflectors of that light as your people. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.